Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and today we're going through 1 Corinthians, and I went and looked up a couple references here, and where the Messiah says, and you'll find this recorded at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, he says, "And I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Well, that's fairly strict, isn't it? That's, I think we need to dig a little deeper into that. And then we'll compare that with what Paul says. First of all, someone said to Moses, why did Moses then command a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And before this, says he was talking about they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So we have here a little teaching, right, on the, of course, there are no little teachings that come from our Messiah, but they're huge when you really dig into them. So he says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. From the beginning, it was not so. He says, I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication. And what does that mean? Okay, fornication, and this is a man putting away his wife except for fornication. And of course, fornication, the word is porneia, which includes, and he has it right here, includes adultery, incest, figuratively idolatry. Fornication. Okay. But I would say in context here, fornication could even include withholding sex. When you couple that with what Paul wrote about not defrauding one another, that would be included in the porneia. And basically what this narrows it down to, this word fornication or porneia, it narrows it down to, sexual sin, impropriety, or the withholding thereof. Because if a woman withholds her body from her husband, then she is robbing him of his posterity, of the ability to have children, because he can't have children without her. And the other way around, if a man will not, because it was very important in this culture. It's not like the American culture where nobody wants children and they kill them before they're born and practice the idolatry of birth control and abortion. Society was very different then. A woman wanted children. A man wanted children. This was a very godly thing and desire. And like I said before, that even creation itself screams to us that it is God's will for us to have children. There's no way around that. But of course, the wisdom of men is a little bit different than the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. So he says, I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. So we have an exception here. So if you put your wife away for anything, for any cause, and this works both ways, a woman who leaves her husband for any cause, and shall marry another, because if a man is out there fornicating, visiting the local whorehouse, he is threatening the life of his wife. He is threatening to bring disease if he's out there practicing homosexuality and then coming home to his wife. Say he's what the world calls bisexual, another abomination. Then he is threatening his entire household. He's threatening his wife with the disease of this, you know, STDs and death to any child that she may have that could become a carrier of that disease. So we have the exception there. Our Heavenly Father realized, he knows that there are evil people and good people may end up married to someone evil. It can happen. It can happen to you. It happened to me. It can happen to anybody. You just never know. People can change too, and they do change. That's why the scripture says that we have to endure till the end and we'll be saved, because some people do not endure. They just do not. It can happen, and it does. So he says, whoever should put away his wife except for the exception of fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. This is men and women both. Yahshua doesn't make any difference here. He's saying, you know, even in the society, the Hebrew men could have more than one wife. And he's even talking to them. They may have more than one wife. He's saying, if you put a wife away unlawfully and you marry again, you'll be an adulterer. And you cause your wife to be an adulterer. Now that's pretty stiff. That's pretty hard to take, because he says, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. And I think there's something lost in the translation here, because this doesn't quite jibe with what Paul says. So perhaps we need to read this a little differently, because if a man, an evil man, takes a new wife, because this is what they were practicing in Israel, a man could have as many wives by the Hebrew law as he wanted, as he could take care of. That's what the law fairly says. Then a man can have as many wives as he can take care of. If a man took a wife after and he couldn't take care of them, then he would be at odds with the law of God. I mean, that's what I've nailed it down to in a fairly thorough study of the law. In the Hebrew law, a man could take as many wives as he could actually take care of, and any more he would be stepping over the bounds of the law. So that's where the limit is. And that's not, you know, it's like the, what is it, Islam, they limit a man to 6 wives. And, of course, in Roman Catholicism, they practice, what do they call it? They practice, what is the word I'm looking for? Matrimony, which means one woman. That's absolutely Roman Catholic. Matrimony. And of course, matrimony, one woman, or the woman being supreme, is that goes to goddess worship, but we won't go there. We're not going there right now. So anyway, just getting back and what they would practice, and that's what really was addressed in Malachi, is that the men would take a new and younger wife, and then they would put out the older wife. Okay, because perhaps she couldn't have any more children, and they would just put her out with nothing. And that our Heavenly Father compared that to violence in the book of Malachi, and you'd have to go back to Malachi for that. But so I think there's something wrong here, because Paul says that if a wife is abandoned by her husband, as it would be in the case which I just addressed, that she would be free. And of course, the freedom there would be free to be remarried in that case. So what I think that our Messiah is saying here, and is lost in the translation, is that a wife, likewise, a wife which leaves her husband for an unlawful reason will be living in adultery if she's joined to another man. Now that's the only thing that makes sense. And also is in compliance with the rest of the law and with the writings of Paul. So I'm just saying that there's something lost in the translation here, or a little mix-up in the translation. So I would interpret this scripture that way. So to read it again, and perhaps with a better understanding or a more proper interpretation, he says, I say to you, whosoever shall put away, that is, divorce his wife, except for fornication, and marry another, committeth adultery. And he says, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. I think what he's saying is, if anyone who marries a woman which has left her marriage, as a man who could put away a wife for an unlawful cause, he's going to live in adultery. And a woman who leaves her husband for an unlawful cause will continue in adultery, even if they get all the paperwork in order. Okay? Because what I think the Messiah is saying here is your paperwork is worthless. Because we have a different record in heaven. I believe that's what it comes down to, is that the record that our Heavenly Father has in heaven is different than the paperwork that you may have down at your local courthouse. So I'm looking for the paperwork in heaven, and that excludes probably more than 50% of the divorced women on your Christian dating websites, because I would put them into this category here with a little questioning, because I want to know, and if they're one of these, I want nothing to do with them. Listen to me, men, because you will just be marrying yourself to a harlot and living in adultery. And I know many men who are married to women who left their wives, and they call themselves Christians too, but they're married to women who left their husbands unlawfully. They got all the paperwork in order, but I'll tell you what, they didn't look at the paperwork in heaven. They did not look at the record in heaven to see if she qualifies to be remarried to a godly man. And I believe that's some pretty good teaching there. Anyway, let's jump back to our reference in 1 Corinthians, and we'll pick up where we left off. Chapter 7, verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Now here's the commandment for a woman that leaves her husband for any cause whatsoever. Okay? And that means no cause. So you just can't live with the man anymore, woman. I mean, it could happen. You cannot abide him for whatever reason. Here's his commandment to you. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. You know, I've been married 3 times, as I say, but you know, I've never been married by the law of man. Never went and got a license from Caesar or whoever the state of. Never. Always got married by the law of God 3 times. And this may seem astonishing. What do you do? See, if you're married by the state, well, then you go get a divorce by the state. But you know what? The state can't give me a divorce. It can't grant me a divorce. I can't go to the state and petition the state for a divorce from my first 2 wives who were wicked and left me unlawfully, and who are, or at least one of them, at least I think one of them may be, and I don't believe she's ever been celibate. We just don't know about the way she's living, because she's so far away and she doesn't broadcast. But I know one is living in adultery with another man, and she's never married him. And even if she was married by the state to him, she would still be living adultery just by the things that I'm reading. And I just realized that, you know, perhaps there may be some people listening to this, that this is cutting to the quick. But let it cut to the quick, because we need to learn the law of our Heavenly Father. And I ain't reading nothing from the Old Testament here. So you got no excuse. You can't say the law was nailed to the cross. These are commandments from the mouth of the Messiah and from his apostle to the nations, to the Gentiles. So he says, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried. And that's what I told my second wife. You're living in adultery. And if you want to, because she wants to pretend like she's, you know, she loves God and all that. Of course, she doesn't fellowship anywhere, and we know it's all just something that she tells herself and lies she has in her own mind to make herself feel justified. After all, God wants her happy, and if she's not happy living with her husband, then God wants her to go be with the one that she's happy with. Of course, her God is the idolatry of romance. You know how that goes. So, the commandment says that she should remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And she hasn't come to me to be reconciled yet. And also, she could probably come to me and say, you know, Nicholas, I was wrong. What I did was awful. What I did was against God's law, because it plainly was. And I have confessed my sins, and I repent to God, and I'm coming to you to ask your forgiveness too. And could you please give me a writ of divorce? Under God's law, the man gave a writ of divorce. And then if I gave her a writ of divorce, it would set her free. It would be an act of forgiveness, actually, because she'd be coming to me asking me for forgiveness. Either that or she'd be asking for reconciliation, which I don't know what I'd do in that case, but, you know, I'd have take it on a case-by-case basis, because I don't have to be reconciled to her. Not after, you know, years of adultery. I can just give her a writ of divorce, but she'd have to ask me for it. And that's how the writ of divorce worked with the law of God. The man could grant it, but some, and what man wouldn't if the wife asked for it? And perhaps some men didn't want to let their wife go, but they wanted to leave anyway for whatever cause. But he says to remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. So that's the choice that you have. And it says, and let not the husband put away his wife. And of course, for any light cause, and if we balance this with what the Messiah said, and the put away means divorce, we can add the exception for, except for fornication. He says, but to the rest, speak I and not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. So there we have a rule for a man who becomes a believer and has an unbelieving wife, or vice versa, and Paul gets to that, and to the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. And I'll tell you what, don't preach to him, don't try to be the priest of the household either, because you'll drive him away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. You know, this is peculiar and a powerful statement. And something else, and you know, I really hate to be get too personal or reveal too much. But I know of a couple that are married, and the wife became a believer after being married to a husband. And it makes me think of this verse here. For if the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. So let me read that again. The woman which has a husband that believeth not. So there's a situation. Two people got married. The wife becomes a believer and starts following the Messiah. And she has to follow this commandment. It says, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So we have a situation, we have a wife, and I know this couple personally, very good friends, and she is living with an unbelieving husband, and he is pleased to dwell with her. He is so pleased to dwell with her, in fact, that he allows her to homeschool his children, their children, and teach them the Bible and take them to church. He don't go to church himself, but he's pleased to dwell with her and even have more children and allow them to practice their beliefs. So he's really pleased. And it says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Wow. That's powerful. Can this man be saved by having a believing wife and being pleased to dwell with her? That seems to be an indication of sanctified. Sanctified? What does sanctified mean? What's the hagiadzo that we talked about? He's consecrated. He's purified. He's made holy by the wife. That's what it says. And also, contrarily, the wife is sanctified by the husband. And here I see a principle of coverture that we get from the Old Testament, but I see a coverture that works both ways, not just from the father or the patriarch, but I see it working from a believing wife. So I see that there is a spiritual equality that enters in that perhaps wasn't revealed before. But the woman, and see, now this woman that I'm talking about and this man, this couple I know, this woman is submitted to her husband in everything. If she don't agree, all she can do is pray. And yes, it's difficult for her, and because they differ on some things, but she exemplifies a submitted wife, and she tells him that I have to do and abide by everything you say according to the law of God, and she lives it too. And you can see why he's pleased to dwell with her. Because how many ungodly men have a submitted wife? I'll tell you, not very many. And usually an ungodly man makes his wife submit through force and fear and threat, if he can, because the world will help her escape, you know, by their laws. Anyway, well, we'll continue here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. And this goes back to what I said about something getting lost, the interpretation in the reference that I read from Matthew 5:32, where the Messiah said, was talking about adultery and how it continues after if a man puts away his wife. I believe that's a mistranslation because of what Paul says here. Because if an unbeliever depart, so if a man puts away his wife for an unjust cause, he doesn't cause her to commit adultery. But if he takes another wife, he is living in adultery. She is free, according to what Paul says here. So we're balancing scripture with scripture, and we find this liberty here where Paul says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage, which means they are free in such case. But God has called us all to peace, he adds. So we'll pick up here and perhaps finish this thought next time on Cross the Border. Remember, in everything you say and everything you do, hallelujah.